Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. And as we has been shared, we're drawing closer to our family, friends, and neighbors' night that we're having next Sunday night. And so we're looking forward to that. And so our messages are all kind of leading us to that point. Last week we looked at Jesus is caring. Today we're going to look at Jesus is coming. And then next week, Jesus is capable, and then culminating that Sunday night with all our hope is in Jesus. And so there's many things for us to prepare for. That's what this week is sharing the thought of, and when we're talking about Jesus is coming, that there's preparation that needs to be made. And so we've got Jeff's posting a sign-up sheet out front for things that need to be done next Sunday night while you're here. So that's some of that stuff is helping Mike be the grill master out there with the food. And then the other request that we've got that's not on the board is we want for you, if you could, make your best batch of cookies. See, cookies are like people. Some of them we like better than others. Some are more nuts than we like. Some have raisins in them. Like I said, somebody said it the other day, as long as you know they've got them, it's not bad. But it's when you're expecting a chocolate chip. So if you could have some of those men, women, kids, whoever, make a couple. Everybody make a couple dozen cookies. If you could start bringing those in Wednesday night, because we'll have packets and for our visitors and things of that nature. And then the rest of them we are going to eat that night. We're having brats and hot dogs and snow cones and popcorn and different activities and things of that nature for them all to share in. But so your responsibility, all you have to do is bring cookies starting Wednesday night. So we, like I said, we can get some of those ready and packaged up for the go in those packets. But we're excited about this. I hope that you are, we are looking forward to this event. And in preparation for that as well, we're planning on a lot of this being outside. So please pray that the Lord prepares a good day for us for that. We'll say he'll prepare a good day for us. We just need to learn how to adjust. So those are some of those things that we're, and as they said, there's more flyers out there. Post it. There's links on Facebook to share different things, and we're expecting a really good time here for the community. So Jesus is coming is what we're looking at today. We looked Jesus is caring last week. We're talking about Jesus is coming. Matthew chapter 3 is the text we'd like to start with today. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and it says, "And now in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Does anybody happen to remember what the first message that Jesus preached was? That's pretty good if Jesus copies your sermons, right? John's was repent for the kingdom of heaven at hand. And Jesus' first message that he come bringing was repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. "For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness.'" Now, he's not talking about Jesus here. He's still talking about John the Immerser. And so make ready the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And in other words, what John was here to do was to prepare the way for Jesus is coming. And that's what we want to look at this morning. There's going to be three parts of Jesus coming that we're going to be looking at. The first one this morning is Jesus is coming and they were told to prepare for his birth. Jesus is coming, prepare for his birth. Everyone knows of the birth of Jesus in some fashion or another, whether you're a believer or if you're not. They know of at least the birth of Jesus. And if you say you don't, every time you write a check, and I know what some of you are saying, write it what? But every time you sign a check or you put a date down, you are acknowledging the birth of Jesus Christ. Everyone in the world does that, whether they want to or not. They do acknowledge, or whether they think they are or not. But so yet, we still love to tell the story. And as the old song says, we like to tell it over and over again. And we share that. And I know as growing up, when we'd be at the Nelson's house for Grandpa and Grandma Nelson's, Grandpa Bob would always have us read the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. And we'd remember that and look at those things, and we'd share it time and time again. Why do we share that message? Why is that message shared? Because it is a message of hope. It is a message of hope. There was approximately 4,000 years from creation till the time of Jesus' birth, and the entire Old Testament is a history of the ancient world of preparing it for the Savior, for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to come into this world. Telling them, get ready. Get ready. He's coming. All the way clear back from Genesis chapter 3, the first prophecy of the Son that would come, that would take away the sins of the world, and we're going to look at that, that he would crush the head of Satan, Genesis 3:15. And as we look at that, the entire Bible then forward from Genesis on into the major prophets, the minor prophets, is telling us that Jesus is coming. Now, the unfortunate thing is that many people still like to keep Jesus as that little baby today. Jesus is a mighty king today. And as we need to be reminded of that sometimes in the church, we live in a world where they believe, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but they believe that Jesus is coming back to reign on this earth. Scripture doesn't teach that. That's man's concoction, and we'll look at that as we get going. But there are things that we need to be prepared for. Even as Jesus' birth was drawing near, there was the 400 years of silence from the last speaking of Malachi, the prophet, saying that there was going to be one like Elijah coming. And then we see John the Baptist. And they described him as Elijah. Kind of a crazy character of sorts, lived in the wilderness, wore camel skins and camel hair outfits, and ate locusts. The only thing I could probably get on board to would be eating that wild honey. I like that. That's good stuff. But as we see that, a message then comes that we see just a couple chapters earlier from our text, where Joseph has a discussion with an angel. Mary has a discussion with an angel. And Joseph's wanting to put her away silently and quietly and take care of the situation. But he's reminded that Mary, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, that she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. There is no greater name on the face of this earth, as we're told in Acts chapter 4, than the name of Jesus, a name in which every knee will bend and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Prepare for this, because he will save his people from their sins. Of course, then as those things would happen at Mary, at the birth of Jesus, and then even as Jesus was in the temple as he was 12 years old, remember, we're told that Mary took these things and she pondered them in her heart. She was thinking about them. See, the problem is the rest of the world was looking for a military leader, maybe even a political leader. They were looking for one that was going to free Israel, that was going to set the Jews out on their own, that they were going to overthrow Rome. And Jesus reminds us that his kingdom is not of this world, and it's not like that. But even the disciples struggled with that. So if some of you here today don't quite understand that, remember they said, is it now at this time when you're restoring the kingdom back to Israel? And Jesus is like, no, no, no. It's not about that. He was going to establish, as we see in what we are a part of today, Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the greatest kingdom on the face of the earth, as Daniel tells us, one that has no end, and that's the church. And we get to be a part of that today. And that whole message, the Old Testament, was all pointing to the point of Jesus coming, and he had to come to this world somehow, but he didn't come in glory and splendor, came really just the opposite, in very humble means. But there was prophecy made. There was prophecy fulfilled. Things telling us that the Messiah was coming. You realize about 500 years before Jesus was born, a man by the name of Buddha came along. He established a religion that we know as Buddhism. And many people gathered to him and tried to live by his teachings. But he was born. But when he was born, nobody ever said, hey, somebody is going to come along and he's going to come from this or that family, and they're going to, and these are going to be his credentials, and this is how you'll know who he was. Nobody ever said that about Buddha 500 years before Jesus. But yet we've got prophecy clear back 4,000 years before Jesus came. Muhammad, a man born about 500 years after Jesus. Buddha 500 before, Muhammad 500 years after Christ, he established a religion that we now call Islam, and many people gathered to him and tried to live by his teachings. But before he was born, nobody ever said, hey, somebody's going to come along. He's going to be from this family or from that family. These are going to be his credentials, and this is how you'll know who he was. Nobody ever said that about Muhammad. Nobody ever said that about Buddha. But I tell you who they did talk about. Since the fall of man, they talked about a Savior that was going to come from heaven, that was going to come from the one and only God. And that's Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came, he didn't just pop up in history and say, hey, guess what? I've got a great idea. Long before Jesus was born, God put his stamp of approval on him so that we can know that all the Old Testament looked forward to the birth of this one little boy in Bethlehem. And because of that one child's birth, wonders have taken place in the lives of millions of men and women, and their lives are now changed or have been changed because of one man that can save the world. Now that's a hope. That's a hope that we have. Most people today have no fear of the birth of Jesus. Talking about a little baby in a manger, everybody gets excited about that. It's only when he grows up and he commands humankind to recognize our Father, his Father, which are in heaven, the birth of Jesus should point people all over the world to the Father in heaven. And I pray that we let it happen. I pray that if we would have been there 2,000 years ago, that we would have been preparing ourselves for the coming Messiah. But we weren't. So we live in a different time, right? And so we are reminded that Jesus is coming, and it wasn't just about his birth. He lived for 3.5 years carrying out an earthly ministry. a service, a work, bringing glory to the Father. Jesus is coming, and there was a preparation that was made for his ministry. He spent 3.5 years, as Scripture tells us, going about and preaching and doing good. There were some exciting things that happened back there in Bethlehem and Egypt and Nazareth, and even in the temple in Jerusalem. But it was all preparing us for the time that they would see Jesus Christ walking along the banks of the Jordan River. And in John chapter 1 and verse 29, as John looks at him and says, as he sees Jesus coming, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Notice this, that when God speaks of salvation, his method is never changed. Gabriel had told Joseph that she's going to bear a son and he is going to save the people from their sins. John the Immerser, as the ministry of Christ is beginning, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I'm here to let you know today that Buddha could not do that. Muhammad could not do that. There is no pope alive or dead that can do that. There is no man outside of Jesus Christ that can save you from your sins. That's why all of our hope is in Jesus. Then, having been baptized by John, as we remember, him coming up out of the watery grave there, and as we see his obedience to the Lord, to the God of heaven, the heavens open up, a dove descends on him, and these words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, and then traveled about, gathering those that would follow him. It was a preparation for his ministry. Nothing that Jesus did was just flying by the seat of his pants. It was a preparation. He was prepared. God was prepared. They were preparing the world. Matter of fact, there's a point where it even says that even if the people will not worship the Lord, our God, the Father, these stones will rise up. He's prepared all creation to praise him. But as he's preparing for this ministry, many people today would listen to this message of Christ. They will say that it is good. They will say that it is life-changing. They'll say that it needs to be followed. But actually, very few people, even now and even in that day when Jesus was here himself, would humble themselves to obey the words of the Messiah. Jesus spent 3.5 years proving to all that he was and is the Son of God. And he lived in a world that did not like that. They considered it blasphemy to consider oneself equal with the Father. But as we said, even the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." His ministry was that of kindness, of gentleness, of caring, compassion, as we looked at last week, and ultimately, love. And his death on the cross changed the world. His death on the cross can change you. But as we've looked, many men have died. all throughout history. There's been famous gentlemen that have given their lives, and ladies that have given their lives to save their fellow man for a short period of time. But Jesus giving of his life will save us for all time. Why is that? Because it didn't stop with his death on the cross. It only began triumphant 3 days later with the resurrection from the grave as he conquered death. His life was given for you and for me. He prepared his whole ministry. He prepared his whole life to give us the opportunity to share eternally with him in heaven one day. And this is perhaps then, those other two things happened whether we had anything to do with them or not. We can read about them. They can't impact our lives. We can live our life for him. But the third one here this morning is that Jesus is coming and we need to prepare for his return. Because it could be today. Just because we've got a big event planned next Sunday night doesn't mean that the Lord is operating on our time schedule. Your life could be required today. My life could be required today. The Lord could return today. That doesn't change the fact that we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for his return. Why are we doing what we're doing for next week? Because we all know a lot of people that aren't prepared for his return. And to be honest, we're just wanting to share the information of Jesus and his love and how all of our hope is in him. Jesus is coming and we need to prepare for his return. Each one of the Old Testament books are records telling us that Jesus is coming, whether it's his birth. The gospel accounts are records saying that Jesus is here. The ministry. The rest of the Bible from Acts to Revelation tells us that Jesus Christ is returning. He is coming back. But not to earth. How does it say we will meet him? How does it share he will reign? When he returns, it will be a glory for the righteous, and it will be torment for the unrighteous. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18 says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." For those that teach or have been taught that Jesus Christ is coming back and setting up an earthly kingdom here, that is contrary to what the Bible says. The dead in Christ shall rise. We that are alive will arise to meet him in the air. Because this world is not my home. Amen. And from that time we shall always be with the Lord. In verse 18, he says, "Therefore then comfort one another with these words." Why does he want for us to be comforted? Because he cares. He wants for us to be comforted so that we prepare to be comforted. We are to be prepared for Christ's return. We live in a world today that not only those that are outside of Christ, they're not looking for his return at all. They could care less about it. Had a very interesting conversation that I can probably say was the first direct conversation I ever had with a premillennialist on Thursday. I was sitting down talking to him. We were over at the Graybull Fair, eating a tenderloin. I think it's required when you go over there. But anyway, so I was there talking, and it was a friend that we've known for years. We were talking, and we were talking about the world and the shape of the world that it's in. And two of my grandsons were there with us, and I said, yeah, I don't know whether to just pray for them or just pray that they don't have to go through it. And he made the simple fact, or the Lord just comes and we'll work it out then. And I was just like, you know, I've never actually talked to somebody that said that I can remember, that actually just said, we can just live our life however we want, and then when the Lord comes back, you know who wins in that situation? Satan. Because all those people that are waiting to work out their salvation then will be lost. Paul tells us now to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because, why? Jesus Christ is coming. He is returning one day. Are we prepared for Jesus' return? We've asked you to prepare and praying for three families for next week. We're asking you to prepare for cookies for next week. We're asking you to prepare in action for next week. And this is nothing compared to preparing for Jesus Christ and his return. But we still need to get excited for it. We still need to be living our life as if it's going to happen today. But even as they were told 2,000 years ago that the Lord will return, can you name one promise that the Lord had made in the Scriptures that he's never followed out, that he's never kept? The only one is that he hasn't returned yet. Every other promise, he's been faithful to the T. And so we have no reason to believe that he will not be faithful to that one. Scripture tells us that when he comes back, that you, me, that each and every one of us are going to be judged according to our deeds. The angels are going to come and they're going to be right, left, right. They're going to separate things out. The Lord is telling us right now, be prepared. You're going to be with the goats. You're going to be with the sheep. You're going to be with the wheat that is harvested and brought in, or you're going to be with the weeds that are burned. It's time for you to get prepared. That's what we're trying to do, is prepare the world for Christ's return. We can't prepare him for him coming in birth. He's already done that. We can't prepare the world for coming and being ready for his ministry. He's already done that. But it is our responsibility in the dispensation that we are in, being servants of Jesus Christ, that we prepare not only ourselves, but we prepare the world around us that Jesus is coming back. And we, the church, need to be ready. As we live here on earth, we are either preparing for heaven or we are preparing for hell. And now I've had people that will argue with me for that. Well, just because I'm not making preparations for heaven doesn't mean I'm preparing for hell. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. As we've said before, you got to be one side of the fence or the other, and people say, well, I'm just going to ride the fence. Well, I'm letting you know, the devil owns the fence. You've got to get on one side or the other, heaven or hell. What will your choice be? Where will you prepare to go? Where will you prepare to spend eternity? And not just you, but our neighbors, our friends, and our family. Don't we want to see them all in heaven? I do. So let's do our best. Let the world know that Jesus is caring, Jesus is coming. And next week, as we look, that Jesus is capable to get us to our home in heaven. For all of our hope is in Him. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray for you. We pray that today that you would go home, that you would consider. Maybe you don't even have to get that far. Maybe you'd just be like, you know what? I have never been obedient to Jesus Christ. I want to have my sins washed away. Now's the time. Now is the opportunity. Because as we said, we never know how long we've got on this earth. But it starts with a belief in Jesus, that He is the Son of God. Not just a good guy, not just a prophet, but that He is the Son of the living God. Then you're willing to repent of that sin that put Him on the cross. That you're willing to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That you're willing to let someone lower you down as a dead man and arise to walk in the new life. Buried with Him in baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life, having forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and going on our way, rejoicing, being faithful until death, and letting the world know that a Messiah was coming, that a Messiah was here, that a Messiah died to save them and is coming back again. So that all their excuses will be taken away. And we pray that they'd just say, let me come to you today in full obedience and faith, that it is only through Jesus Christ that I can be saved. They're going to lead us in our song of invitation. If you're here and fit that criteria and want to know more, want to live more, want to do more for Jesus, now's your time. Here's your opportunity. Please answer the call before it's too late.